Now this update from the Canadian Press. There are now 51 confirmed and presumptive cases of the new coronavirus in Canada. That includes a man in his 40s who recently traveled to Las Vegas and used public transit in Toronto for several days before he was tested and diagnosed. He's now in self-isolation at home. The World Health Organization says it's received applications for 40 possible new coronavirus tests and has 20 vaccine candidates in development. There are concerns Inuit communities will be at much higher risk if the new coronavirus spreads north. The Inuit Circumpolar Council says communities in Canada, as well as Alaska and Greenland, have a chronic lack of basic infrastructure and resources. And the hockey world is mourning the death of Montreal Canadiens legend Henri Richard. He was 84. The speedy center won a record 11 Stanley Cups with the Habs. From the Canadian Press, I'm Dawn Kelly.
Hey, 202 and change right now. Gunner here. Let's check in with the old weather for Saturday. High of 4 and sunny. 8 degrees and sunny for Sunday. 3 degrees later on tonight. A little bit chance of more snow. Right now, it's 0 and that's it. It's not even, it's just 0. How nice is that? Marble Index on deck. A chat with Ian Graham in just a little bit with Extension Rebellion. Some info that you should know. And more cool music. You're hanging out with Gunner. Steel City Music on the Hawk. We'll be right back. Same schools. One of my favorite tracks there from the Marble Index. It's 207 and change right now. Gunner here on Steel City Music. I got this email from my friend Kareem, and it was about things that are happening around Hamilton. And we've been getting very passionate, and we should be getting very passionate about certain things. Things that affect our community, things that affect our health, and all of these things. He said, I think Gunner on Steel City Music might be the better choice of a radio show to talk about this topic. And I was like, oh, okay. So as I'm reading through the email thread, I'm like, wait a minute. Maybe I'm not the best. I don't know enough about all of this stuff. So I needed the who, what, where, when, and why. And this email leads to a conversation, which leads to my next guest right now, Ian Graham. He's here with us. Who, what, where, when, and why. There's a thing happening at the Cotton Factory this weekend, I believe, and it's called the Roar event. And there'll be different things that are going on in the Cotton Factory, but one of the things that's going on is being put on by Extinction Rebellion out of Hamilton. And they're putting together a letter campaign for people to write to their MPs about the effect of a pipeline that would run through this area, and of course, and what is happening to our land, our air, our water, and how we have to be more cognizant of what's happening. You do hear these things off and on in the media, and you hear about these things on social media, but very rarely do you hear someone say, you know, a letter campaign has to be written. And joining me right now is Ian Graham. Sir, thank you for taking the time out of your day, coming up through all this slush and mush of Hamilton weather.
Yeah, it was wonderful to get here.
It was. So tell us about the foundation of Extinction Rebellion.
Yeah, sure. Extinction Rebellion is a grassroots, nonviolent civil disobedience movement that started in the UK, in England, just over a year ago. And you probably heard it in the news. Right. They shut down the center of London several times over this past year for several weeks with a festival, which amounts to a festival of people. They basically imported parks and camps and kitchens and festival stages in order to make the point, we rebel against the probable potential extinction of the human race, which is already being talked about in the scientific literature as a non-trivial, non-hocus-bogus idea.
Right.
So we have three demands. XR has three commitments we're looking for from governments at all levels. The first one is to tell the truth. What do you teach your kids? Tell the truth.
Right.
And act accordingly. Secondly, to get serious about reducing carbon pollution now. We say figuratively 2025, which is like the Earth was made in 7 days. You know, we want the carbon out in 5 years. We got to get that serious about it. And thirdly, let's get beyond partisan politics. Let's make it really as though we know human race and all the rest of the living species on the planet are in jeopardy now. That's a nonpartisan, non-political issue. Let's get started. We think one way to do that is at a citizens' assembly, which I could talk about if you want.
That would be great if you could. Please tell us about the citizens' assembly.
Sure. That's a model of invigorating, energizing the democratic process by picking a cross-section of citizens by sortition, it's called, which is like we pick juries who will then come and be supported and educated, have to get a leave from their jobs for whatever length of time it takes to think through a policy position to give to their government. And that is the people speaking. And the government, therefore, can say, like here in Hamilton, we've got a climate emergency resolution on the books, but the people aren't behind it, and the city is not saying, is not getting the message that the people are saying, take this seriously, act now. The city is going to try to get growth and urban boundary expansion and major sports and music events here in the city, all as well as reducing our carbon footprint. You can't have them both.
So it's you just say like a partisan, you have to like stop the partisan politics.
Yeah.
But how do you make a city council with all these heavy things, we have environment things that happen here in Hamilton all the time. And we've gotten better as far as pollution, that sort of thing, just because of the reduction of some steel mills over the years.
Steel mills going broke.
Yeah, right. And then they're packing up and leaving, that sort of thing. So there has been a change in the environment that way. But how can politicians let's be honest. We people want to work. Politicians want to keep a job. They're frightened of losing their jobs. So they go with whoever swings the most weight. How do you swing the weight against, like, big business?
Yeah. Well, there's the thing. At the end of the day, we all vote with our dollars. We know that the political system, when we vote with our vote once every 4 years, is basically broken. It's not a democracy of the people. It's a democracy of vested interests and lobbyists and the money system. We know we've got the largest skewed income distribution in history. North America, Canada's not quite as bad as the U.S., but they're both terrible. And that means that we, the people, have to do what's left to us, which is get out in the streets, mass civil disobedience, and say stop. Yes, we want a job. Yes, we need to pay our kids, have money to put our kids through school, but we don't want to throw our kids under the bus either with the climate crisis.
Are we at the tipping point right now?
We're past it.
Yeah, I should say 5-6 years ago, I was lucky enough to see Dr. David Suzuki at the McIntyre Theater. Mm-hmm. And he's a great orator, and we all know his background as far as, like, the environment goes. And he said the question was, question period afterwards, where are we at? Can we do the reverse? And he says, I don't think we can. Mm-hmm. I think we've gone just a little bit too far. Mm-hmm. And then someone said, well, what happens in the next, what happens, what would you like to find out after you die about the planet? And he says, I don't care. I'm dead. What do I care about the planet? So I think it kind of harkens that. It goes to, like, the generations, the younger generations, which you just said about throwing the kids under the bus. And some of our off banter off the mic was like, who is a millennial? Who's an exennial? What group are they in? I'm a Gen X, so I'm moving on in the years, but I'm still going to be on this planet for 20 more years if I'm lucky, 30, healthy. I'm a little concerned about what I'm going to be dealing with. I can't imagine what my kids or your children's children will be dealing with.
Yeah, I would say I don't expect to die of old age, and I'm 65.
Right.
I expect to die from some consequence of the climate crisis, which is a global phenomenon now, very brittle global system, economy, ecology, and you could also say epidemiology, mm-hmm. where we've got the COVID-19 happening right now. We hardly hear about it, but we've got a massive locust infestation all through East Africa, threatening the border all the way to China. These are all, if any one of these things happened at one time, we could probably handle it. But because it's such a brittle, global, interconnected, consumption-oriented world economy, mm-hmm. we are now telling people stay home. Don't go to work. Don't get out to shop. Self-isolate if you've got more than one confirmed case in your county. Now, think what that means for the global economy. It's going to go crashing down.
Right. Well,
and my point is that the exennials, the millennials, like my kids, need here at the college, too. They need to decide that this is really not just fake news. This is happening on their watch. My generation and yours, Gunnar, have led us to this place where the tipping point is now past. All we can do now, as Diane Sachs said, she's former environmental commissioner here in Ontario, said, we'll never see the 1990s again. It's all downhill from here. All we can do, minimize the consequences. Hence, people have to look at their lifestyle choices and their political allegiances and decide, what part of my lifestyle am I willing to relinquish in order to have a future, even for the possibility as a millennial to have children?
Yeah, that's a question that's been posed. That's been banging around for the last little while in the media over the last 5 years about the economy. How, if you're not buying something, you're not moving the economy along. But it's there's a struggle when I see stuff in the media about food as well, plant-based food. Plant-based food is great. I don't know how it's made. That's the problem. With me, it's supposed to be all organic, but I'm not sure about the chemicals. But if I buy plant-based food, then I'm causing the beef industry to suffer. So it's like no matter what you seem to do, there's a choice that you're going to end up suffering, right? So, you know.
Yeah, well, guess what? We live in the richest period in human history. We've had an energy-rich market economy for 100 years. And we, who live on the internet, we're alive today, think this is normal. It's not. It's way not normal. Even in the 10,000 years that humans have been, living in cities and growing crops. So yes, we're gonna sacrifice, and some of us are already suffering now. Like somebody said, the future isn't. The future is already happening. It's just not at the same time, at the same place. Here in Hamilton, in the Great Lakes Basin, we're one of the sweet spots on the planet, really, because we've got the Great Lakes around us, we've got lots of water, good land, civil society, and we could kind of say, yep, that's somebody else's problem. How about global economy? We can't say that anymore.
No, it's just we're all part of the big system.
And let me come back to meat and frankenfoods.
Please do.
Yeah, because those are good attempts at trying to solve part of the problem. We got to have lots of solutions out there. Because if we would just all stop, our leaders particularly say, stop, this is too big. I've never been here before. This problem has never been here before. Never going to happen again either. We don't know the answer instead of pretending. So we'll let those fake meat and now fake milk companies keep doing their research, growing food in huge factories in giant sized petri dishes and vats. It's probably part of the solution. Yes, we've got to reduce our meat consumption. But no, guess what? We need ruminants on the land. I know this as a farmer, to be digesting biomass into a form that's digestible for the microbes in the soil. And that's where the carbon gets sequestered in the soil. Mm-hmm. Even before the Industrial Revolution, before 1750, we cut down most of the trees on the planet to fuel our civilizations, going back to the Romans. Yes? Right. All those trees were sequestering carbon. What did we do? We generated deserts on the cross, the north of Africa, Libya on east, and what used to be the Fertile Crescent is now a desert. We got to put that back, and we know how to do that. Soil carbon sponge with ruminants. So don't put them in CAFOs, big factories, with fences around them, feeding them stale cookies. Feed them real grass, no grain, and let them, and so yes, make fake beef, but also recognize part of the solution is having real ruminants on the land.
How does you just said it's possible to regenerate the soil, and you just used a term that I've never heard before.
Oh, right?
Yeah.
Which one? Soil?
The one soil? Yes, but how to bring it back to life? That sort of thing. But in our society now, and it's like the bigger picture. I mean, we talk about politics and partisans. It doesn't matter here in Canada if you're liberal, conservative, you're this or that. You have to see the bigger picture. But if you don't have actually no power to control the political parties, I don't have $1 billion or $1 million to donate to a party to get what I want. I'm not a lobbyist. I'm not a company. So how do you put the moral and scruples into a big company when you're trying? Because to me, it's like you're trying to control the system when the system's already bought and paid for by someone else.
So Gunnar, it's a difficult problem. It's almost not a problem. It's a problematique. It's anytime you solve one piece, you create two new problems. It's like that. But yet we have to solve it. We have to get it down. And I think a good way to start is not blaming big business or even corrupt politicians. Because why? Because we're all living inside a system with certain assumptions we took for granted, which we could summarize as globalism and neoliberal economics, which is growth. Mm-hmm. We've said for at least 50 years. We can keep on growing, no limits. Even economists have, you know, got Nobel Prizes for saying there is no real limit to our natural resource. So we can't go about blaming businesses. We need businesses. Look, we just got $10 billion from Amazon. That's pretty cool. So what we do need, though, is people like this, whoever's listening today, you all out there listening right now, think about this. What could you start to do differently that would remind you every single day you live on a beautiful planet, you have a lot to be grateful for, you want to be future, have a future, and you want to be happy? Hey, think about that for just a minute. Now, what can you do? Start small and find somebody else. And then find Extinction Rebellion, or find Hamilton 350, or find any naturalist group here in the city.
Right.
Find like-minded people. Because as we touched on briefly, the politicians cannot make good decisions because the system is broke.
Right.
It's bought and paid for. So I put the analogy like this. Let's get all these students here at Mohawk, and let's get everyday working moms and dads out in the streets when we call for a protest against, let's say, a pipeline, which is going on right now here in Flamborough. Enbridge is trying to put a brand new pipeline and get us to pay for a third of it across a short stretch here through the Beverly Swamp, one of our water sources. And why? Because the American states south of Lake Erie have said, no, you can't put that pipeline through our player. So they're going to put it north around through Ontario, make a great big circle to close up, you know, 50 miles over between New York and Pennsylvania. My point being, we've got to stop all new petrochemical fossil fuel infrastructure.
Just stop making sure that it's not being built.
Yeah. Stop making sure that the powers that be, including the Energy Board, Ontario Energy Board in particular, thinks that they basically are off the radar. They're not off the radar. We're trying to put them on the radar. That's why we're backing Wet Sweat and tribal elders in northern British Columbia,
okay,
who have unceded territory, and they say, no, you can't wreck this place with another pipeline through here. We back them 100%.
So by deconstructing the pipelines of that fossil fuel industry, you're forcing them to switch to a cleaner energy source, a cleaner energy delivery system for the next 30, 50 years. They're making money now. They have stockholders now who are making money. You want those people, to give up their own interest for the planet.
Yeah. Yeah, they're not going to do it willingly. No, they're fighting it tooth and nail. Even while we get fossil fuel companies like BP, they tried to rebrand themselves as Beyond Petroleum.
Yep.
Even while they're putting a little bit of money over here for renewables, they're still investing massively in new pipelines and natural gas processing plants to make plastics. They know the window is closing. Hundreds of billions of dollars have been divested already from investments in oil and gas. Well, that's the truth of it. You hit the hot button. People act in their perceived best interests, and those executives are stuck in a system that requires them by law. I mean, their laws were made to require them to be diligent in maximizing profit. They don't have an obligation to act with a triple bottom line: people, planet, and profit.
But you can't. I know what you're saying by peaceful protest, but to me, it's very disheartening. It's harder for the younger generation because younger generations think they're invulnerable anyway. Like nothing's going to happen to them, and that's just what it is, right?
Yeah, I was there once.
Yeah, we all felt invulnerable at that point in our lives. Now that we're seeing all the changes that have been happening over the years. You know, we touched upon economics that's worldwide. It's not localized. It's not just when this stays within our country. The global economy is pretty much owned by certain individuals and conglomerates. So when they own something and they put their own political parties in the system, here in Canada, we have basically a two-party system, as much as we would like to have something a little bit more. But But what does it matter anyway if all of America, yeah. Oh, don't worry, I'll mention the NDP and all the other stuff. But if America is controlled by big business, isn't that the same here in North America and Canada? So like the political system, let me finish. I can protest and I can write a letter to all of these people and say, listen, you need to change. You need to change. And every 4 years I get a chance to vote them out. But I don't vote them out because I'm given with an option of only two party system.
Yeah.
And then but big companies own the media, and all I'm ever hit with is a poll saying that there's no faith in the NDP, a poll saying that there's no faith in the Green Party. So it's do you know what I'm saying? You touched upon it earlier. It's a broken system. So how do we fix the system? Like where's the point aside from, do you know what I mean? It's like it seems insurmountable, Ian. When you really look at it, it's like we're just subjugates of a machine. How do we break the machine to save the planet?
We're operating in a real world of our own creation, the economy, according to the rules of capitalism 1.0. You look through it and you see it's broke from stem to stern. We have flooded our open space with our waste streams. Mm-hmm. We've exhausted our resource of non-renewables. They're all maxing out. We're at the limits to growth in all the non-renewables. And we spend 1 3/4 planets a year of renewable resources, soil, water, clean air, and biomass, every year. Now, that's all got to stop. We don't have to try and break it. It's breaking itself. What we have to do, and XR wants us to do, and why we're doing the letter-writing campaign, because we know that's a demoralizing, discouraging story. It doesn't have to have an unhappy ending. You got to be a little bit of a Buddhist or at least somebody who reflects on the inner life to know that we all want to be happy. We all want to avoid suffering. And the path we're on is pretty much a path to maximize suffering. More stuff doesn't make us happier, right? You know, a little bit of stuff makes us a bit happy. A little bit better, more. But a whole lot more, no. We're not a whole lot more happy. We're probably worse off on the happiness quotient. That's been measured in the States since the 70s. Happiness index has been going down. So I want to address in the closing minutes here what we're doing here, because you hit on a key point. We've done a pretty darn good snapshot analysis of the problematique, also called the climacteric, a break in the system. Mm-hmm. And now where do we go? Well, where we go is we give people cause to feel engaged by participating, by making choices, participating in the choices that their carbon footprint is a little bit smaller, their energy consumption is a little bit smaller. It's not an overnight switch. We recognize that we have power as individuals if we get out in the streets and take it back as citizens. And thirdly, we want to have some fun. We want to know that we still know how to celebrate. So what are we doing? We're part of ROAR, R-O-A-R, at the Cotton Factory this Saturday night. 2,000 people came through last year. It's like an indoor busker fest, and it's a blast. And we have got a great big huge table. We're going to have resource people sitting around. Anybody wants to come and write a letter saying why I care, not why you should fix my problem, but Mr. Trudeau, why do I care? Mr. Mayor Ford, why do I, Fred, and Premier Ford, why do I care? We're going to give them resource material. They're going to sit down and write a little note, and we're going to mail it off for them. And then they're going to go have fun. And what else is XR doing? Well, we have an open mic and an art auction every third Sunday at the Casbah Club. The owner gave us the use of the property. We go in there. We have fun. We get behind the mic. It's not just singing. It may be poetry. It may be I do a stand-up comedy act. You can tell I'm really good.
There you go.
That. And we do a couple other things, too, I want to just mention. We have the open mic. We have a nature walk once a month. So we get out in the nature and be with each other, recognizing, wow, it is a beautiful world. It is a marvelous, magical world that we've inherited here. And on Thursdays, we have a self-defense class, deeply subsidized by a Taekwondo instructor who's part of XR here in Hamilton, in the West End at 210 Napier. Anybody can come, be part of XR, $5. You start learning self-defense.
So all the things you said, it's great for someone who's just who may have heard this, who wanted to know just a little bit more. Head down to the Cotton Factory, come say hello, and see what everything's all about. Thank you for taking the time to come up here today, sir.
Yeah, thank you. And I offer to people one more thing, a little bit.
Go.
I want people to know they can come and get any of us. We have a website. It's xrhamont.org. Lists a little more of the background, what's going on, and news highlights. And we have two... We have a talk called Heading for Extinction, What to Do About It. Okay. We'll give it anywhere, anytime, to anybody who wants to call us up. Just address the email on the website, xrhamont.org.
Okay, and thank you for the card about organic meats and everything when I brought that up earlier. Thank you for taking the time to come in, sir. We're going to play the Los de Lo for you. They'll be performing April 4th at This Ain't Hollywood. I'll be DJing, and here's the song, The Barricade. I think it was kind of important to play that today.
When all the roads you see from your door lead one way and the other way, and all the waves that crash on your shore carry sailors' bones from shipwreck days, when all those vicious handcuffed words constrict, contract, constrain, well, I'll meet you on the barricade in the cool defiant rain.
This nation will rise up, I have a dream.
Our union brothers held on to your mothers, your story an unwritten page, where they read you the rules and they sent you to school, but she paid for the bars on your cage, and you played a poison violin in a symphony of rage. Now it's time you traded that fucker in for a place on the barricade. Sleepwalking land.
Dozen other dirty lovers must be a sucker for it. Cry, but I don't need my mother. Just hold my hand while I come to a decision on it. Sooner or later, your legs give way, you hit the ground. Save it for later, don't run away and let me down. Sooner or later, you hit the deck, you get found out. Sooner or later, you run away and let me down.
Run away, let me down. Run away, let me down.
Black Karen Seven Seas are rotten through. But what can you do? Sometimes I don't know how to get on with all of you lot. Sometimes I don't try, I just na 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 na.
Sooner or later, your legs give way, you hit the ground.
Save it for later, don't run away, don't let me down.
Sooner or later, you hit the deck, you get found out.
Save it for later, don't run away.
Run away, run away, run away, run away, run away.
the stupid reasons why we should suffer all this. I can't seem to find a reason. Just pull my hair while I come to a decision on this. Sooner or later, your legs give way, you hit the ground. Save it for later, don't run away and let me down. Sooner or later, you hit the deck, you get found out. Save it for later, you run away and let me down. Run away, run away, let me down. You run away. Save it for later, honey. Let me down. Please save it for later, honey. Let me down. Save it for later.
249 and change right now. Gunner here, Steel City Music on the Hawk. And you just heard Everything Flows from Red Cross. And also before that, Save It For Later, Pete Townsend live cover. There you go. And wow, what a great show I'm having so far. I'm having a lot of fun, man. I'm running around, but I'm having a lot of fun. We have the 3 for 30 coming up after 3 o'clock. My guest will be Brandon P. He does the Brandon P. General does the My Flying Machine, and we'll air that a little bit after 3 o'clock. And then we got some other music and some other fun stuff and other Hamilton stuff. And then my buddy Sarah's coming by at 5 o'clock. She's going to let us know about some of the music we should be checking out and some of the shows she's seen around town. Where am I? Oh, over here. That's right. This is what I want to spin. So the other day, I met this guy. And at the college, his name's Ryan Jackson. Really super nice dude. He works here, and he gave each other our backstory. Blah 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 blah. And he goes, man. He goes, I've been doing the Steel City Riders thing in Hamilton, and I'm like, well, what's that? He goes, well, it's a hip hop outfit that I do with another friend of mine, and we're yapping a little bit. And then I found his music. I'm like, this is good. How come I didn't know about this stuff before? Like, this is kind of stuff that we should be finding out about. So I'm going to play a couple tracks going into the 3 o'clock portion of the show. And here's some Steel City Riders for you. We'll start things off with Nobody Does It Better.
Nobody does it better. Just trying to make you see. You know my heart is on lock. Just cause I'm out on the block doesn't mean I'm gonna stop. Just tell me you love me. Just tell me you love me. Every night out where I'm on this tour bus. Yeah, I know I'm only doing this for us. Just to back, relax, and trust. While I stack it up, attack and rush. This game like Candy Crush. I'll give you fancy stuff. Man, keep up. These bands be up. These fans be up. And everyone love this Randy cut. That's enough. Why do what I did when I said I wouldn't do it? Why do what I did when I said I wouldn't do it? Why do what I did when I said I wouldn't do it? Just tell me you love me. Just tell me you love me. Why do what I did when I said I wouldn't do it? Why do what I did when I said I wouldn't do it? Why do what I did when I said I wouldn't do it?